Hello once again, and welcome to SearchSecurity.com Security Wire Weekly Podcast for Wednesday, October 4th, 2006. Your news and views on the information security market. Sponsored by Astero. I'm Eric Parizeau. This week, Yankee Group's Chris Lieber joins us to talk about intrusion defense challenges for mid-market companies. Plus, the web application firewall market shakes off some shaky issues, and why secure electronic voting may be the big loser in next month's elections. But first, our top story. A new Internet Explorer flaw threatens some IE users, but a pair of third parties have already offered up temporary patches. Late last week, a new buffer overrun problem was discovered in Microsoft's widely used browser. The problem affects Windows XP machines with Service Pack 2 installed. Attackers can use the hole to cause denial of service conditions and run their own code on victims' machines. Microsoft has yet to release any information about the problem. However, security vendor Determina, along with the zero-day emergency response team, have both published short-term patches that mitigate the issue. Separately, Microsoft says it is investigating a possible vulnerability in the Windows Shell program. Specifically, the alleged problem lies in the WebView folder icon ActiveX control. Proof-of-concept code has reportedly been discovered in the wild. The software giant says it hopes to patch the Windows Shell issue next week when it releases its October 10th Patch Tuesday bulletins. Also in the news, web application firewalls haven't always had a great reputation, but that may be changing. According to a new report from research firm Burton Group, web application firewall performance is improving across the market. Burton Group analyst Diana Kelly says the architectures of the latest products have been designed to be performance aware. Still, Kelly says web application firewalls use will often cause some application performance problems, but those can be fixed with fine-tuning the configuration. Despite the improvements of both network-savvy products and hybrid web application firewalls that also protect databases, Kelly strongly recommends blending security into the software development lifecycle. We'll have our Security Spotlight interview with Yankee Group's Chris Lieber in a moment. But first, a word from our sponsor.
This podcast is sponsored by Astero Corporation, makers of the Astero Security Gateway line of network security appliances, which provide complete protection from network, web, and email security threats. Visit them on the web at www.astero.com, that's A-S-T-A-R-O.com, to learn how they can help protect your network from hackers, attacks, and viruses. Astero is offering listeners of this podcast a free demo unit to evaluate and protect your networks. Visit www.astero.com to request your free demo unit today.
We're back, and with this week's Security Spotlight, here's my colleague, Bill Brenner.
Mid-sized companies face many challenges in developing an intrusion defense that keeps the bad guys out of the network and the company's name out of the headlines. There's certainly no shortage of vendors who sell intrusion defense tools, whether it's the standard antivirus software and firewalls or the larger enterprise-class intrusion detection and prevention systems. But for mid-sized companies, budgets don't always support the purchase of enterprise-class IDS or IPS boxes, and so IT security executives need to find more affordable ways to keep the intruders out. So what's the IT security executive of a mid-sized company to do? Joining me to talk about that is Chris Liebert, Senior Analyst with Yankee Group's Security Solutions and Services Division. Chris, welcome to Security Wire Weekly.
Good morning, Bill. Thank you.
Chris, for mid-market companies that are developing an intrusion defense program, what would you say their top priorities ought to be on the technology side?
There are no shortage of products available for mid-market to deploy to protect their networks, and also the subsequent market segments that they play into. I want to talk about NBA, Network Behavior Analysis, Content Behavior Monitoring, CBM. There's offerings from vendors, UTM, or what we call ISD, Integrated Security Devices. So So the list goes on and on and on. So having said all of that, in terms of what mid-market can do to best protect their enterprise, it's a pretty broad question, but I think it needs to encompass the anti-malware component. There's some interesting things going on in this space. There needs to be some measure of protection on the VPN or access control side as well, where this is tightly monitored and managed, and there are plenty of vendors who offer products that are plug-and-play and don't have to be a forklift upgrade or this huge capital expenditure. And then, of course, intrusion prevention, IPS, IDS pretty strong in the market. IPS is an advancement of that where you can block on a signature basis. And then some content protections. And this is everything from management, pretty tight controls around access to authorized servers and sensitive servers, as well as managing those points of egress by which data might find its way out of the network, such as messaging and, for instance, email, IM, FTP, and so forth.
Are there any specific vendors that come to mind that are particularly effective at catering to the mid-market level?
There are many different vendors playing in these spaces. You know, of course, the big guys, Cisco and Juniper, they tend to cater more toward the large enterprises, but of course they do have solutions for the mid-market. On the NAC side, you know, there are vendors such as StillSecure, Lockdown, and what they're doing is they offer appliance-based solutions so that, you know, with some integration with their management teams or with their post-sales engineering teams, can walk vendors through the installation of these products for that access control component that I mentioned. On the content and behavior monitoring side, there are plenty of vendors in this space as well, of which will cater into the mid-market, Veracept, Vontu, Oakley, and many others. And I think it's just a matter of mid-market enterprises researching, you know, through publications like Yankee Group offers, or, you know, going out information out on the web about the different areas that they're having trouble with. But there's no shortage of information out on the web about the different vendors and where they play.
Sure. Now, let me ask you, from a cultural standpoint, if you're a mid-sized company and you're hammering out a security policy, what should you be putting in that policy as far as what employees can or can't do online and what steps the company ought to take to enforce the policies that they map out?
It's a great question, and there's some really interesting work being done in this space at the moment, some things I'm very excited about. And it's an interesting problem in that you're trying to control employee usage, and that is always a sticky point. There's been a lot of work done on the content and intellectual property controls so that it's more about sensitive data, making sure that sensitive data isn't making it offline, or that, you know, through these egress points I mentioned earlier, through FTP, email, IM being the top two, and also managing, you know, the number of people who have access to sensitive information, as well as alerting on those instances where authorized users may be doing some malicious things, such as, let's say, working after hours, downloading large quantities of files after hours, or larger quantities of files than they may normally access, or client records, for example. There's been some very nice, interesting things being done along these lines, where it's helping the enterprise address the issue of managing their content and protecting their intellectual property, yet still not having to monitor each individual employee's access out to the web, let's say.
So if you have some of the security technology in place, that's really your best bet, is instead of trying to spend all kinds of human resources trying to look at who is browsing where, as long as you have the right technology in place, it's going to do that monitoring for you so you can move on to other things then.
Yes, I think that's an accurate assessment, and obviously a good URL filter is important to implement as well, because while people need to have the freedom to do on their free time what they want to do on their free time, enterprises still need to protect themselves from lawsuits driven potentially by inappropriate access, web access at work. So I think in conjunction with a good URL filter, and then the intellectual property controls, and then some good alerting and monitoring software, I think enterprises should be in pretty decent shape.
What should companies be doing when they're writing their security policies as far as governing how people are use these USB keys, those types of devices?
Yeah, it's a great question, and it extends to not just the USB devices, because of course those are a big problem, but as well to the laptops and the mobile devices, PDAs, that are increasingly becoming used more in the enterprise because of the flexibility and the ubiquitous access to all those important applications that employees on the road need. There's a slight uphill battle in this area because encrypting data onto these devices has the unfortunate byproduct sometimes of causing that if the user loses their access code or their decryption code, then that data is lost, or there's all sorts of implications. But I think with controls and appropriate controls, and this, like I say, this three-pronged approach, I think there are some very good things that enterprises can do without spending a ton of money and time to ensure that their intellectual property is maintained and that they don't suffer the lawsuits and the brand degradation associated with that intellectual loss, potentially.
Now, scalability is often an important issue for companies that may need to quickly ramp up their defenses as they grow. Today's mid-market company could be at the enterprise level in, say, 2 years or 3 years. Mm. What are your recommendations in terms of ensuring that they are looking at products that are scalable? What are some red flags that you would point them towards when they're shopping for the best technology?
Yes. And, of course, that's a position that I think a lot of mid-market or small-medium businesses would like to be in, is just dealing with that scalability issue. But you're right, it can potentially be a headache. And to address that, I think the best thing that enterprises can do or this mid-market segment can do, looking down the road at what they may be faced with in terms of securing their information, is obviously the bleeding edge technologies that I cover and I look at and study are appropriate in some very highly sensitive large enterprises, such as the healthcare financial sector, let's say, where they're regulated, very highly regulated in terms of the regulations that they have to meet, as well as making sure that their data is protected. So from sensitive health patient records and so forth. But for the mid-market, I think the established technologies are probably a little bit easier to gain a handle on. And here again is where we can touch on the main areas where a mid-market should be focusing. So from the perimeter, a good solid firewall, and potentially an anti-malware device, and Chiva is doing some work here as well, putting that anti-malware component at the gateway. And then an access control solution, some vendors, Still Secure, Lockdown, Mirage, playing here in the mid-market space, so allowing that authentication onto the network before, they are allowed on, and making sure the security check of the endpoint device is good and that they have their firewall and AV running and so forth. And then also when they're on the network, what do you do with that user once they're on the network? And then some vendors playing here, Cisco and Juniper, of course, on the on the uh, on the access control side once they're on the network and quarantining and remediating those users who find themselves who may be doing some malicious things and then find themselves having to be quarantined, or the health of their device becomes compromised during that session. And some network behavior analysis controls. There's a lot of work being done here as well. Vendors like Mazu, Lancope, and these guys take a look at the benchmark normal activity on the network and then alert on that which is becoming abnormal, and they've got some incredible heuristics that they do this by.
Well, okay. Chris Liebert from Yankee Group, thanks for being with us today.
You're welcome. Thank you, Bill. I had a fun time. Thank you for having me.
Thanks, Bill. Finally this week, the nation's November elections are just around the corner. But what happens if e-voting technology in some communities isn't working or isn't secure when it's time to go to the polls? That's the problem election officials in Maryland are facing. During the Maryland state primary, many of the electronic voting systems made by a company called Diebold crashed or caused problems with the state's $18 million digital voter check-in system. It's not the first time in recent years that Diebold's machines have had problems, especially in regard to security. Reports have claimed that the company's voting machines could easily be tampered with, hacked into, or fall prey to worms and viruses that could alter election results. Diebold says the problems in Maryland will be addressed by Election Day. Overall, according to USA Today, about 80% of U.S. voters will use some form of e-voting in next month's elections. And that is Security Wire Weekly from searchsecurity.com. The latest corporate security news is always available as it breaks on our news page at searchsecurity.com/news. And don't forget you can download past episodes of Security Wire Weekly on our podcast page at searchsecurity.com/podcast. Thank you for joining us. For Bill Brenner, I'm Eric Parizeau. Stay safe out there.